This is the Charisma News on the Charisma Podcast Network. One daily news story, well told. I'm Taylor.
Welcome back to the Charisma News Podcast. Today, I'm so excited to welcome onto the show here, over the phone lines, Ryan Williams. Ryan, how are you doing?
You know what? I'm doing pretty good. I really appreciate you asking, and I'm glad to be here with you.
Well, I'm glad you're able to make some time to talk to us today. I think our conversation is going to interest a lot of people. It's certainly been in the news a lot lately. To give a little context, you are from River Valley Worship, which is based in Minneapolis. And as we know, in recent days at the time of recording, there have been a number of protests in Minneapolis, a number of conflicts between the protesters and police officers in the area. Just overall pointing to stemming from the unjust killing that happened just last week at the time of recording. And so with all of that in mind, we wanted to talk to someone here on the podcast who is based in the area, who can bring the Christian perspective, because many of our listeners don't live in that area. So I guess just to jump in from your perspective, what are you seeing on the ground in your community?
Well, I think the biggest thing is, you know, the murder of George Floyd was horrific and senseless on every level. But this is not the first incident across our country, across our world, and even in our own state. This is not the first incident of this type of pain and this type of evil. And to answer your question, what really we've been seeing on the ground here in the last few days, more than the fires and the violence and the division, all of those are as real as they can be. But what we're seeing in the hearts of people, I think for the first time for many of us, is realizing that this is not someone else's problem. This is our problem, our issue. I would hope that a holy sense of ownership is really rising up, especially in the church, in our church, in this area. I mean, it's real, it's raw, it's honest. Definitely, I can't compare this, these events of these last few days to anything that I've seen since I've lived here in the Twin Cities. And so it's just indescribable. And we have to really take this day by day and take these indescribable things that we're seeing and take them to an unmistakable, indescribable God who really is the only hope for all of this.
I think that's really well said. With that in mind, then, what are some of the ways that we can pray for this situation? I know a lot of our listeners are strong intercessors. So what are some of the things that they can be advocating for?
Well, I would pray. There's so many things, but I would pray for a godly wisdom for the leadership of our communities. That includes our church. Again, we're not trying to exclude ourselves from the responsibility, but we do need wisdom on all fronts. We need wisdom for our governor, for our government, for both mayors of Minneapolis and St. Paul. We need grace for each other. As I'm hearing myself speak, I'm asking people to pray for these godly virtues to flood the streets of the Twin Cities. It starts in the hearts of people. It flows into the homes of people, and then it will flood into the streets. And we need conversations to be had from parents to children. We need godly conversations and dialogue to happen between neighbors. I guess I could probably talk about that and answer this question for a few minutes. So I guess I'll just say we need wisdom. We need wisdom to be able to move forward, compassion, empathy, and again, ownership.
Are there any other ways that we can help? I'm trying to figure out the right way to say this. What are some other ways beyond prayer that we can support? Because I think that a lot of times when these sort of national tragedies happen, I guess is the best word I can find for them. A lot of times there's an initial rush of, you know, we talk about thoughts and prayers. And prayer is so important, and we're not minimizing it. That's why it's the first question we bring up here. But a lot of times the aggrieved communities also want to know, what are we doing about it? So what are some ways that we can, that with our actions, we can show the love of Christ as well?
Yeah. I think for me, being a pastor at a local church here on the ground level, I think the easiest way would be, anybody listening to this can go to rivervalley.org, which is our church's website. And there you'll find, for us, it's local, a local projects arm of our church, which is doing many things from food drives to cleanup, to pastoral care / benevolence of, you know, and this is again in our backyard. So these are real people that are being affected by all the events that have transpired in the last few days. I will say this, I have never been more proud to be a part of our community here at River Valley. In the midst of the Twin Cities, we mobilized our church in the last few days, where hundreds of our congregants, if not thousands, including myself, and I brought some of my kids, we went to Ground Zero, prayed, cleaned up, encouraged. And if you're a local leader in a church, you know, especially here in this day and age where some churches are just starting to open their buildings back up. I mean, I know we experienced that in the last few days. Coincidentally, all this is happening, and we just opened our church buildings back after months and months of being apart. It's just an emphasis on the gathering of the church on a Sunday or a weekend is very important, but the church doesn't exist just for us to show up and receive and then carry on with our normal, safe daily lives, but it's both service out on the streets and coming together to worship.
Absolutely. I guess, sorry, I'm just, I mean, yeah. For me, I know that, like, I'm not even directly in it. It's spread beyond Minneapolis. I'm not even in one of the cities where there all of the protesting taking place where one of these injustices has happened, but I've just felt such lament and grief for our country during this time. I guess as a pastor, what would you say to me, to listeners who feel the same way, who are feeling that lament? What do we do with that?
Well, I think there's an it's a bit easy, I guess, for me to answer this because I'm in the same boat. You know, you see these things transpire and you say, what can be done? What do I need to be doing? I think, first of all, you lean into the grief. You lean into the lament. You don't try to run away from it or act like it doesn't exist. You sit with that grief. I think you look through the scripture, you can see Jesus doing that. But once you've had that season, it should push you to action. And whether that be taking care of your neighbor, looking around at the sphere of your life, the sphere of influence, the sphere of connection that you have with people, your friends or people of color or of different race, calling them, checking on them, talking to them, just listening to them, where they're coming from, what they're going through. I know that I've done that in these past few days. And, you know, a lot of times watching what we've seen take place, the words escape you. Words have escaped me so much in these last few days. But I was, someone shared with me a video clip just yesterday. And it was just this beautiful portrait, a picture of what I think the mentality of what we need to be doing right now as brothers and sisters in Christ, no matter the color of our skin. It was a community of people, and African-American people, white people, and this community was broken and ravaged, just like a lot of communities around the country. And this group of white Caucasian people were kneeling down in front of this group of African Americans, and both sides were weeping and crying. And there's a man, a white man, who was praying a prayer to God, but also praying on behalf of the whole community, praying for forgiveness for generations, for years, for decades of prejudice and racism. And when the words have escaped me the last few days, I have just gone back to that picture of that type of compassion, humility, empathy that the church needs to carry in this time. It's heartbreaking and beautiful all at the same time.
Absolutely. And I know with your background as well as a worship leader, that's something where I mean that's something that you do regularly, is trying to figure out how to express to God all of these varying different emotions that we have in life, the mountaintop moments and the valley moments alike. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, our expectation at our church is that the worship leaders and worship pastors that call this place their home, we really we use this phrase all the time, but pastoral musicians. And so, you know, if it's 20, 25 minutes of quote unquote worship a week where people are gathered together in the church and you're up there on a stage leading them, that's not just your time to facilitate a few songs and make sure it sounds good or looks good. That is your time to pastor and foster a relationship with those people. And so most of it is really kind of simple but effective of knowing your people. You know, a lot of our worship leaders and worship pastors are actual pastors, licensed ministers. And so we have the opportunity and the privilege of marrying couples, of visiting people in the hospital, of doing real life with them. And here we are in the most extreme circumstances where our city literally is in parts burning to the ground. And again, we have to rise to the occasion of pastoral ownership of our own city, so that when you're on the street, you know, sweeping up debris and glass, that will inform how you lead worship the next day when you're in your pristine church building with all the amenities. I don't think there's quite anything more powerful than doing life with somebody, being in a community, and then being able to lead them in worship. I think that's how it's supposed to work. I think that's how God designed it, as opposed to some sort of grandiose worship rock star type of dream that some people might have.
It's really well said. Well, Ryan, thank you so much for taking some time to talk to us today. If people want to, go check out River Valley, see the music that you guys do, even follow you on social media, where can they go for that?
You can go on Facebook, River Valley Worship, really active on there as well as Instagram and Twitter. And again, we have the opportunity that all of our music stuff is on Apple Music and Spotify, so it's real easy to find us and follow what we're doing, YouTube as well. And thanks so much for having me. It's been my pleasure.
Absolutely. Any final words for our listeners that you want to leave them with?
I know that people are praying for our city and for our communities, and I want to say thank you. Your prayers are felt. Hope, without sounding cliche, because we don't have time for cliches, hope really is rising in the Twin Cities. So thank you.
Thank you. You've been listening to Ryan Williams on the Charisma News Podcast here on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Taylor Berglund, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening to the Charisma News Podcast, one story, well told. To hear more stories, visit us online at charismanews.com or check out the podcast every weekday.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.